good to go?
Yep, good to go.
Excellent. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I'm your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And of course, we're actually into season three, which took me a while to figure out because we pre-record. So we are in season three, and I have this amazing guest on. I have the lovely Sasha Sedman here, a wonderful author I love. I'm a big kid at heart and I love kids' books. And I'm always looking for books to read to children in the daycare settings and the community centers. And I just absolutely love her books. So I'm going to put the spotlight on to her. Thank you so much, Sasha, for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on. I'm really excited coming to you from my car.
Yes.
Busy as always. The Wi-Fi went out, but the beat goes on. So here we are, and I'm excited to be here.
That's the mom reality, and it fits right in with our theme for today because that's what you do. You write about this is what life is, and let's make the best of it. But before we start talking about what you do, can you kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today?
I'm a mom, and that kind of is like my current label. But
Mm-hmm.
before that, I am an adoptee. I'm a child of adoption. I have an open adoption, and I'm also dyslexic. And I had a really difficult time in my adolescence. I ended up dropping out of high school, getting my GED, and I just took a lot of different paths trying to figure out what was right. And I enjoyed it and I enjoyed the paths and it took me to where I am today. But really, when I found motherhood and my journey to motherhood involving miscarriages and pregnancy loss, I really wanted to get all of the big emotions off my chest. And so I kind of categorized myself as a journal kid. And I used to just journal big emotions. So when I became a mother, those emotions were love and excitement and fear and anxiety. And I started journaling them and writing. And that's how I wrote my first book. First night was sitting with my daughter, sleeping on my chest, doing a contact nap, as she still does. And I wrote that book and I loved it. And I loved being able to have the idea that I could share it with not only my children, but other children. So I started looking at them and watching their experience and seeing the world through their eyes. And I just started writing. And I really thought, I want to use this platform to show the world from my children's eyes and the world from the eyes when I was a child and what I would have wanted to see on the bookshelves and what my children did. And that's how I got here today, is writing about dyslexia and adoption and even divorce coming up, things that I experienced and my children experience. And I love sharing it with the world and getting feedback and just having these conversations.
Yeah, and it's great that we'll talk about that as well, but just the way you bring it up in the books is something that the children can relate to necessarily without not necessarily knowing what is happening in the family setting, but can relate to certain things that you bring in. And we'll talk about it. I love the one with the ducks, and it's just like you know,
Yes.
the ducks, and then, yeah, they're not all in a
We
row, and just things like
are
that. I
all
think
out
it's
of
great.
ducks. Yeah, that experience of postpartum depression and watching these Disney movies with my children, and there was all these little underlying humors that us as adults really caught on to. And I thought, there needs to be books like this. There needs to be books that we can have a laugh at that our children maybe don't understand and maybe shouldn't for a while, but we get a little enjoyment, get a little serotonin release reading these because some days we are all out of ducks by 9 a.m.
Yes. That's right. And it's just the fact that the kids feel that energy. So they're really, it creates that bond even closer to read time. You're enjoying it. The kids are enjoying it. And it's just
Yes.
fun. And I mean, with what you told us about your kind of your life, I'm pretty sure that was the last thing you thought you'd ever be would be a writer if you're, struggling in school with dyslexia and all of that. So what do you think? I'm not sure how to, I had a question in mind, but I kind of trying to think like, how do you think your life journey actually led you to that? Like that just, you've mentioned that it was a journaling thing for you, but to overcome some of the challenges that you had as well, what kind of
Yeah,
led you there?
I think I still overcome it, but I think really with my dyslexia journey, something that really helped me was finding my strengths in dyslexia. So my parents really advocating for me to have help with the reading and the writing and the spelling, but then also really enforcing how strong my visual was and my creativity. And so that really allowed me to have the confidence to to say that, okay, I might need help editing these books and making sure punctuations are in the right place, but I have a great visual mind. So I do these storyboards really before I finish writing the book, where I have these visuals in my head, like in All Out of Ducks, where I see a flamingo holding a teddy bear, and I think that's hilarious, or a skunk sitting in the back of the car with a child who just pooped in their diaper. And I just think of these things and I'm like, oh, that would be like a great visual. So let's figure out how to write with it. And so I think I've really kind of flip-flopped it, where with my dyslexia, my visual helps with the writing versus the other way around, where I write something that I see then a visual for. So I think that that really helped me a lot. And I think that's why I gravitated also towards children books, because I enjoyed seeing the pictures. I enjoyed reading, Give a Mouse a Cookie or As Quick as a Cricket. Those are some of my favorite childhood books. And so my parents enjoyed those, and I enjoy them now as a parent. And so I wanted something that not only the children could see and relate to and enjoy, but the parents really could see and relate to and enjoy. So I think it's really a fun process to do it. And I really get a lot of enjoyment, honestly. It's really fun. And I'm really glad that my parents gave me so much advocacy skills as a younger generation, as a younger child, so that I have that now and I can say, hey, can you look at this page for me? I'm not sure I got this right. I'd love to be double checked. And there's nothing wrong with that. If you're dyslexic, if you're not asking for help, it's a completely normal thing. And it's great. And it's a great skill to have growing up.
And it's to hone in on your superpower. It's not because maybe the letters are not working for you, but the pictures are there, so we can still work with it. And that's, I love that, because I work a lot with children who may learn differently. So just to say it's okay, like you could still make something of it, I think it's wonderful. You share a lot in your books, and you mentioned you like to make it fun for adults, but you represent a lot of different ways families can show up, and in the big moments, but in the fun moments as well. So why do you think, in your opinion, why is it so important that we represent this variety of different ways the families show up in storybooks for children?
Yeah, I think it's really important because when children are developing, there's so many emotions, or so many big things, there's so many little things that are going on day to day, and sometimes we don't recognize them. And so slowing down as adults, like my book, A Boat in the Kitchen, I remember cleaning up after my children when they were all asleep, and I saw, and to a parent, it's just toys, it's clutter, it's a mess, it's puddles, it's things you have to do every day, and we get exhausted by it. But taking a moment and slowing down, I was able to think about, what does my child see? Does he see this huge tugboat on an ocean floating through our kitchen? And does he have a storyline with it? And I was really able to slow down and see that. And I started to look around, and I remember specifically seeing this little toy cow in my laundry basket. And normally it's just like, oh, it's going to get stuck in the dryer, it's going to get stuck in the wash, it's going to melt. But I'm like, does he see a cow, like with socks over his head? And it really creates these really joy-filled moments out of really mundane, everyday tasks that a lot of parents have. And so I think as a parent, I never have a full glass. I never have my cup filled all the way to the brim unless it's coffee. But most days it's half. And I think making a conscious decision to say it's half full versus half empty is really important, especially when being around children, because they have the same thing. They don't know how to fill their own cup yet. We're teaching them. So when we are at, we're just survival mode, when we're able to say, you know what, I'm half filled, I'm not half empty. And it's raining out, so let's dance in the rain because it's 75 degrees. And it's really sunny out, so let's go outside and play. I'm exhausted, so let's read this book. You find those little moments to cling on to. And some days, all you can do is put them in front of screens, but that day we are doing our best. And the next day we're going to do our best too. And that's all we can ask, and that's all we can ask of them. And so I think slowing down, taking those moments, reading the book, just enjoying that time and really appreciating those little moments, because they go by really fast. I mean, I think back to my newborn phase and it's shocking. And I just am like, I wish I had held him more. I wish I'd done more contact naps. And so just sometimes thinking back and saying, I wish I could go back to then. And in 3 years, I'm going to wish I could go back to this moment. And so let's live in it. Let's be present with them. Let's enjoy this as best as we can. And as exhausted as we are, let's look at it half filled and get our co coffee fully filled.
Yeah, we can always get our coffee filled. I love
Yes.
But you're so right about that. The moments go by so fast. We need to find these moments because my boys are grown. My youngest one is 21, and just recently, it's funny that you mentioned that. I wish I would have had those moments because he's going, he's in university. It's the holidays, there are exams, finances because he's in university are non-existent. It's the holidays, so I could see the stress. The stress level is high for him. And I was thinking about that last night. I remember days where I could just give him a hug and everything would just kind of just fix, the hug would fix it. And I'm sitting there looking at him going, I can't just give you a hug for this, right? And he's like, no, stay away from me. But it was just like that moment where it's just like, God, I wish I could just take that from him just for those little moments that we really do have to embrace because they don't last long. Yeah. It's you have something where you find joy in all the little moments. You really work at finding that. And so this is more of a personal question. I'm curious to know what your thoughts are on this. The listeners, they can, if they're not interested, that's too bad. That's my question. I'm just curious to know, is it finding, you finding those joyful moments in everyday life that led you to be able to write? Or is it by writing those stories that you are now able to find more joyful moments in your life?
I think it's a mix. I think writing has really helped me be more aware of those little moments than I was before, and it also helps me hold on to them a little. My camera roll has more pictures than I would like to share. So I think a lot of it was that like I wanted to capture every moment. And so I think writing these stories that are inspired by my children and my family, I think those are ways that I can hang on to those moments and that I can also help other families hang on to those little moments. 'Cause not everyone has a boat in their kitchen. Someone might have a camel or a train or a dollhouse that is in a giant mansion. You know, everyone has different things in their kitchen. And so I think that really helped me because I really struggled with postpartum after my second child, and it really was hard. And I remember seeing an interview that a woman was talking about some of those harder emotions and from a darker time. And she said, "How beautiful is it that we can feel everything that we feel?" And I just remember I hung on to that where I'm like, okay, like even on really bad days, it's a beautiful thing to be able to feel. And so I take that always with a grain of salt now, where if I'm stressed, if I'm anxious, if I'm having a hard day, you know, you just look at it as like, wow, like I've felt such a range of emotions, and I can now share that with my children, and I can help teach them and guide them, and I can say that I have experienced this, and I can help them through because I know they're going to experience such a wide range, and even ones that I haven't experienced yet. So it's finding those moments, and on the ones that aren't as joy-filled, just appreciating the joy-filled ones.
Yeah, and it's so true that we kind of through our example, our children are learning how to process those big emotions, or at least not make light of it, but at least find the little moments that'll get them to push through. That's so important. And I like to kind of leave the listeners with something that they can implement today to start to getting things moving. So this is the question that I wanted to ask you is, what is the one thing parents could start doing today that would help them to change what doesn't bring them joy in their life? Because that's really what it comes down to with this. What is it that's not bringing you joy? Let's flush that out. So what are some of the things that parents could start doing?
So I do this weird list thing that I've been doing forever, and it's a never, an always, and a maybe. So I have my always, which is like everything I love doing, every big thing I love doing, and then my nevers. And this can be like across the board, like if you don't ever want to like skydive. And then you have your maybes and you have your middle board, and you can look at those sometimes. And I sometimes do, where it's almost like a gratitude list of like, how much do I have? And some days when it's really heavy, like when the kids are crying, they haven't napped, you haven't slept, you're out of coffee creamer, and it's just a really heavy day, those hours lag so much. So trying your best to remove yourself from those hours and look at the years, I think can be really helpful, at least for me. And also, I am guilty of this, where sometimes you need to lock yourself in a closet and have a good cry. And I am not ashamed to say it that I have gone to the bathroom and locked the door and just sat on the floor and had a little bit of a cry. And I've washed my face and I've put some chapstick on. And I felt like a new woman when I came out because I took a minute for myself. My kids might have been screaming, but I knew they were safe. I've put my baby in a crib before while she was crying because I needed a deep breath. And I've kept the baby cam on my phone and I've stepped outside into the cold air and taken a deep breath. I mean, taking a moment for yourself will make you a better parent. And so I think that that is beyond what we just need as mothers, as parents. We need to remember that our best self is what our children deserve. And that means that we need to take time for our best self. And so if that means having a little cry with your baby, rocking them, if that means locking yourself in a closet and eating a Snickers from Halloween, we got to do what we got to do, but sometimes we have to do it. So if you're listening right now and you need a minute and you have a baby, it's okay to put her or him in the crib. It's okay to eat a Snickers bar by yourself in the bathroom. It's okay to take a
Welcome.
second to wash your face. Like, it is okay to feel like a woman or a man as a parent. It is okay to not just be a mom or a dad. It's okay.
No, that's really good. Yeah, I've done that where I would stay in the bathroom just a little longer, and to
Yes.
the point where my kid's father thought I was having health issues. This is just like, are you okay? This is like on the daily now. I'm like, oh,
Yep.
I'm good. I'm good. I'm doing much better
I've definitely just had to go number one, and I'm
Yeah.
like, oh no, it's taking a while. Sorry, honey.
Yeah. It's the same for
Yep.
me. It was the same. It was just yeah,
Yep.
brushing my teeth and then just kind of I had really
Taking a
something
minute.
stuck on my teeth there.
Yeah.
But it is, and I like that you say that it's we're humans. We're still us, even though we wear another hat. We're parents. We're a
Yeah.
spouse. We're a partner. We're auntie. We're whatever, but we're
Yeah.
still us. So we do need to
Yeah.
take those moments, no matter how ugly
Yeah.
that may look. Like, we do need those moments.
We
I
do.
like, yeah. Let's talk about your books. I love the graphics. I'm a very visual person as well. I have photographic memory, so it's just the illustrations, the colors, everything in it is just absolutely amazing. The one that draw me, like the first one that I got to see from yours was Melanide, which was a great story for those. Anyways, I'll let you talk about your book. Can you talk about your books, please?
Yeah, Melonade. I'll start with Melonade. Melonade is about a little girl named Sam who's dyslexic, and she sees a poster for a Melonade stand on the last day of school and goes home and has all these ideas bursting. And she goes and she gets her play kitchen and paints it like a Melonade stand and is so excited and has so much enthusiasm. And then when she puts it outside, she realizes that everyone else's Melonade stands are yellow. And she realized that she flip-flopped some of the letters for melon and lemon. And she was mortified and scared and anxious that people would think that she was dumb or that she didn't know how to read. And it ended up being a superpower because everyone else had lemonade while she had melonade. And it ended up being amazing. And she realized that seeing the world through different eyes can be an amazing superpower. And it's not something to be ashamed of. And I really would have loved to read that as a child because I was constantly flip-flopping words. I mean, I still have issues where I'll have to use my voice to text and then double check on Google. And so I really love that. And I love the message that it sends. And I really put a lot of little things from my own experience. Like when I would have an idea, it would literally feel like I'm bursting with visuals. And I would go home and instead of wanting to buy something that looked like what I thought, I had to create it for myself. And I would figure out the paint color exactly the way I wanted. And I would draw it out and have dimensions. I would love drawing things. And so I really tried to put a lot of things that children with dyslexia and learning disabilities would really relate to and see themselves in.
And I love that. It's that representation, and it goes for every neurotypical or neurodivergent, but it's that representation to say I'm normal. In a world where you think you're not,
Yes.
that and that when you do go a little off the rails, that people appreciate it, that you bring something new. And
Oh,
that's what
yeah.
I'd like to. And then we of course we have all the out of decks and all of that. But how many? I kind of lost track of how many books do you have in total, right?
I have six in total right
Six.
now, and then two more actively in the works that I'm hoping to come out in the spring that I'm really excited for. So
That's good.
it's been six this year that have come out. So it's been a whirlwind, and it's
That's
amazing,
incredible.
and I'm so thrilled by it.
Yeah, and what I like is that each book has a special message. Like the out of, I think believe it's the Out of Ducks one where you give access to resources for postpartum and was that that is Out of Ducks, right?
Yeah, so
Yeah.
with All Out of Ducks, it started as a book with curse words inspired by Go the Fuck to Sleep, which is a very funny book that's on my shelf. But I have a lot of friends who won't read that to their children or who won't have it in their children's rooms because they're reading and they don't want them to see those words and learn them and take them to school. One of my good friends, I was inspired by her because she doesn't do any cursing around her son, and I really applaud her for that. But I thought I need to figure out a way to add some hilarity for parents, and it was almost done. And I promise I was maybe about 2 weeks from publishing, and I looked at it and I'm like, I'm making this for a version of myself that was postpartum. I need resources. I need to have something out there. And I remember my dad calling me and saying, I don't think you should put the phone number on the front page. And I said, no, I need it because when you're a mom who's postpartum, you don't want to go searching for things.
Right.
You don't have the energy to look in the pages to try and find the number. I had no idea this number even existed when I was postpartum. I just knew of the suicide hotline. I also had no idea that there was a phone number that I could text, which was huge because when your baby's asleep, that's when you have a moment to yourself. So you're not going to make a call. So I really wanted this to be a resource where wherever this book was posted, wherever there was a picture of it, that phone number was front and center, clear as day. Or even if you don't buy my book, I just want you to know that the resource is out there and available to you, and that there is help and there are resources, and that there are so many women who go through this, including myself, and that it's not something to be ashamed of, that it's completely normal. Like, it's not normal to be completely okay in the newborn phase. I mean, the newborn phase, the baby phase, toddlers, they're exhausting and draining physically and mentally. And so asking for help is hard. And so having a resource that's readily available, like a texting phone number, is just really important. And so I really wanted to give that and put that out there into the universe so that people would have that no matter what, if they bought the book or not, if they needed it, if they wanted it, if they had a friend, they could send them a picture of the cover and just have it and maybe keep it in their camera roll. And if they're having a hard day, it's there.
Oh, it's amazing. It is important because we were talking off camera earlier, well, before we were recording, how we don't put ourselves first a lot of the time. So even if you're going through postpartum or something else, you will still find that little bit of energy to read to your child sometimes, you know. So
Oh,
having that information right there for you is amazing, yeah, because then you can take care of yourself as well. I just love that. And one more thing, and then we'll move on. But your other book with the dust bunnies, I love that one too.
Yes.
just because of the fact that they're not monsters anymore, and it can make
Yeah.
it fun for children to clean up. So can you just kind of elaborate on that one? I know a lot of my
Yeah.
listeners will be like, "Oh, I want
No,
that book."
I Yeah, no, dust bunnies aren't bad, just a little unclean. It definitely it was inspired by my own son. I was trying to get him to clean. It was maybe 11 o'clock at night and he was asleep. A lot of my books are written at night because that's the time I have for myself to think without little kids in my ear. And I actually went on Pinterest and I looked up dust bunnies because I wanted a visual. And there were these really scary, kind of spiky little black creatures, which I thought they were kind of cool looking, but I said I can't show this to my toddler, my 1-year-old, they would be terrified. It wouldn't be something they would be able to relate to, and they probably would not want to find them under their bed. So I had written about two books already, and I messaged my artist and I said, I want to come up with this idea for dust bunnies. And we actually illustrated the bunny first, where I said, I want it to have a button, I want it to have a shoelace, and I want it to kind of be these little like characters in your house that are playing around and trying to escape the vacuum and the broom and everything, because it's always right after you clean that you see that one dust bunny behind a door, or you
Of
have them
course.
with the dog hair. And so we really, again, came up with the visual first and then created this story around dust bunnies and how they live in our home. They're normal, but also with a message to parents that they're not bad. It's okay if you have dust bunnies in your house. It means that you're playing and enjoying and outside and inside, and you have a house full of love and dirt, and it happens to all of us. We all have dust boards that are covered in a little clay or dirt or dust or dog hair, cat hair. And we all have them. We all have dust bunnies. And so it's, again, very relatable to parents to be able to see that. And a message to parents is that they're not bad. They're just a little unclean, and that's not bad. Your house is not bad because you have dust bunnies. But then also connecting with children is, can we find the dust bunnies? What does our dust bunnies have? What are they made of? Can we draw a dust bunny? We have a dust bunny, I believe, on page 2, where they're taking the mud from a shoe and just slicking back their hair like Elvis. So, because every once in a while the dust bunnies get muddy, and then you have mud through your house with the dust bunnies. And that's very common in my house because I have two big dogs. So I brought that in, and I wanted to really incorporate that fun because I didn't see anything out there like that. So I really love that book. I read it to my kids regularly. My son does pick out dust bunnies. He's not quite at the phase where he's really cleaning them, but he does love to vacuum now. And I don't know if
Oh.
that's because of the book, but he absolutely loves our vacuum, and he thinks it's awesome to go around and vacuum like mommy and daddy. And so I'm like, yes, that's awesome. Our dust bunnies right now are full of goldfish and Cheetos, but
That's all
that's the
good.
day. That's the day we were having yesterday.
That's the day. Yes, they were just the dust bunnies were hungry. They are allowed
They
to have a
were.
snack too.
Yes, the dust bunnies and dogs.
That's right. I love it. I could talk to you all day about your books, but what's coming up for you? Is there anything new coming up that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, so I'm a child of not only adoption, but divorce. And so, with my platform, I really wanted to write a book that discussed divorce, but also gave parents a tool to discuss divorce with their children in age-appropriate ways. So, I'm writing a book right now that there is a child in the book that has parents that are divorced. And at the end of the book, there are questions that that child in the book has that your child may or may not relate to that you can discuss with your children in age-appropriate ways whenever your family feels ready. And it's been somewhat difficult because divorce is the first topic that is not a happy or joy-filled one. It's a very difficult one. It's a hard topic. So it's taken time, but we're kind of getting to the point of art now, which I'm really excited. But I've had my siblings, I've had friends who are children of divorce, I've had friends who are divorced, all kind of pitching in to help me make sure that this is the most well-rounded book to allow to help the most people and to advocate and to really give a voice for children who are going through that. And to make sure that the parents are aware of sometimes these really small things like bringing a teddy bear back and forth or being able to decorate their new bedroom really mean a huge amount to a child, which is something that meant a lot to me. So making sure that those little voices are being heard and being advocated for, and that they're also getting a story that represents them and their lives, and finding, the half full moments in that, connecting to new people that also maybe have two homes and two bedrooms. And, that's not wrong. Every family looks different. That's how my family was. I had two different holidays. There was a bunch of beautiful things that came out of it, two different types of vacations. My parents were much happier. So, I mean, I think I took from my parents' divorce, the main thing was that every child deserves happy parents, no matter what that looks like. And every parent deserves to be happy, every person. And so if you're not happy in your relationship, you deserve happiness. And that is going to be a very difficult transition. And it's going to be difficult on everyone, on yourself, on your family, on your child. But in the long run, everyone deserves happiness. And so acknowledging that and saying this is our new normal. We're going to have a new normal, and we're going to work through it together. And I'm going to help, and I'm going to talk, and I'm going to be here to talk and listen. And I think that that's a really important topic that I really wanted to work on. So that's really my big project coming for 2025. And then we also have a whimsical book, which I love, called Duncan the Garden Gnome, which is all about friendship. And he has all of these animal friends. And it's all about how it doesn't matter if you're big or small, you can make a really big difference in the world to a lot of people. So that one I'm really excited about. That one's been one I've been working on. And the illustrations, I'm so excited to have them out soon. So
It's so much fun. I don't think people realize how fun it is to get involved in the children's storybooks and the creation of the characters, and that is so much fun. But the one on divorce is so important. Again, working in a school setting, that's a very big loss for the adults, but it's also one of the
is.
first very big loss that children will go through. And we do tend to kind of cover the big emotions, but sometimes, like you say, it could just be the teddy bear. That's their only sense of security, is the only thing they have control over in this
Yes.
situation. So to be able to represent that in a book can be very helpful for families to be okay. This is what we're going through. Let's work through it, and I'll be happy.
Definitely.
I can't wait to see that, especially
Yeah.
the gnome one. I'm all I don't know. Lately, I've all been about just like the fun stuff. Like, I love
Yes.
gnomes right now. I don't know why. So I can't wait to see that. I could talk to you all day. Thank you. I want to, before we talk about how people can reach you if they want to know more about your work, I always ask this one question that I promised the little girl I would ask everybody I interview, and that's, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Oh my gosh, what do I want to be when I grow up? I tell my 3-year-old regularly that I want to be him when I grow up because
Yes.
he's such a free spirit and he just does not care what the world thinks of him and he lives on his own to his own beat. So I think I want to
Yes.
be my 3-year-old. I want to live in that free spirit, like just, a hug cures everything, just like you were saying with your son. I just want to live in a world and I want to be the type of person where a hug will make everything better. And that I can be anything I want to be. And I, every day is a new opportunity. And I just, just carefree 3-year-old life. I would love to be a 3-year-old.
Yes, that sounds so good.
Yeah.
And I can tell that, just, I saw some pictures of your son, and it's
Yeah.
just like the spirit in him is just incredible. Like, he's just
Yes.
like, you
We,
can tell in
it's,
his eyes, he's got the sparkle in his eye, like, oh yeah,
oh,
here
yeah. We have. We've had like these 30 degree days, and I had him in a onesie because he was waking up from bed and he wanted to go outside. And instead of a coat, he put on his dinosaur Halloween costume.
Well, yes,
And
of
he and
course.
I was like, by all means, like, let's go play soccer as a dinosaur. Like, you have layers. Okay. But like, I wish I was like that. Like, I have leggings and my sweater and my slip-ons. Like, my hair is cut. But like, he's a dinosaur today, by all means. Like, love it. Absolutely
Like,
love it. Like,
you gotta get yourself a dinosaur costume.
I do. My husband has one. He has a blow up one that he looks like he's riding it.
Oh, that's
Oh
good. Yeah.
yeah.
Where
Big
we all need
dinosaur.
to.
Dinosaurs and Hulk are big in our household right now.
Good. That's good. Yeah. I like that. I like that. We should all be 3-year-old
Yeah, right?
toddlers.
They live
Yeah.
such a great life.
Life is great. It's amazing.
Potty trained, but still no one really loses it when you have an accident. I mean,
Yeah. And you get cheered for it.
oh my gosh, yeah. I want to be cheered when I go to the bathroom.
Seriously, I don't want to use it to hide from my emotions. I want to be cheered.
Exactly. When I use a fork and a knife, I want people to applaud.
Yes.
Like,
And think it's cute when my face is covered in
oh,
chocolate,
yes. Yes.
take pictures and then, go
Yes.
viral.
Exactly.
I love it. Oh, I love that. That's why I love asking that question. You never get the same answer twice. It,
Oh,
but
it's so great.
it opens it up for us because we're so into the
Yeah, we're so adult.
growing. Yeah. So just to open it up and like, oh, I'm not done. What do I want? What do
Yeah.
I want to do now? I love
Uh-huh.
it. How can people follow you, contact you if ever they want to know more about your work? Is there,
Yeah.
I'll add that to the description as well.
Oh yeah, no. My website is sashasedman.com, and then under all of my social medias, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok is all Sasha Sedman. So you can find me and all of my books there, as well as Amazon. So I'm plastered all over the interwebs.
I love it. And I'll put the links in the description as well so people can have a look. But I highly recommend those books, even for schools, daycares, public libraries. I mean, this is it's a great representation of what life actually is with children. And then your kids can relate to them as well. So thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate that we got to connect, and really appreciate, I love your work. Can't wait to see the other two coming up soon.
Yes.
And no, I really, and whenever you're ready, you come back on and we could talk about the new books. I would love to have you back on.
Definitely. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me from my car. I'm glad I didn't
Good.
lose Wi-Fi with all the clouds out. But no, this worked out great. Very realistic view of what life as a parent is,
That's
life as a working parent. This is This is the life. And I loved being on here with you today as a mom and everything.
Yeah,
This is
it's
great.
good. You got some me time in your car, and yeah,
Yes.
you could also say that the interview went really long and take an extra half hour for yourself
Well, what
before
you don't see is I'm parked in front of a Goodwill, so I'm mama's gonna do a little bit of shopping.
Yes. I love it. I like it. I love
Yeah.
it. So yes, the little lessons to learn here. Take the time for yourself, enjoy it.
Yes.
Do what brings joy. I love it. Thank you.
Definitely.
Thank you again. I won't keep you from your shopping. You
Oh.
thank you again. And for everybody watching, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. Don't forget to check out Sasha's angles as well, so you can follow her work and get her books. And until next time, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.